Herein lies the vegan Jasmine.
It's a sad day. Oh, and then you have some cow moos, like just moo.
No, I'm gonna have a recording of a cow just by your grave, and like some kale, some carrots, a whole bunch of vegetables.
Put like carrots up on my coffin, just like line them up. Hi, it's Jasmine
and Haley,
and welcome back to Cults, Conspiracies,
and Other Creepies.
I got it right this time. You would think after, I think, what will this be? This will be, we're approaching our 20th episode, that I would get the intro right. But last time, of course, I messed it up.
Girl, I was nailed down.
Yes. Oh, wait, there's something I wanted to talk about in our intro. Oh, yeah, I thought it would be fun for us to talk about our conversation on the phone the other day.
Oh, yes.
Our kidnapping conversations.
Okay, are you talking about where we kind of made a list of, like, our passwords and stuff and, like, who we would think would kidnap us and all that?
Yes, like, we're both going to have a file.
Okay, so I love podcasts, and I basically, like, live off of them. Okay, so there's this one podcaster that was like, hey, I have a folder on my laptop and on my phone that has every password to all my social media, every account that I own, and, like, contact-wise and all that. If you ever think someone's going to kill you or, like, wants to kill you, write that down. What else was there? Like, birth, like, all your information, like, who contact, yeah, all
pictures
that.
Pictures of yourself.
Oh my gosh, remember, okay.
We talked about what kind of pictures should be on missing persons posters.
Because I said, I go, some pictures, not to be funny, but I'm going to be funny here because I have a twisted sense of humor,
just
I feel
say
like.
It.
So I feel like some pictures of, like, missing people look so bad. I was telling Jasmine, I go, make me look good.
And then I was like, but wait, okay, if you went missing, say you're kidnapped, you don't have access to makeup, you're probably not showering as much, you're gonna look ratchet, so shouldn't we use a ratchet picture?
And then I go, so basically one day of me at college,
yeah,
there's a picture of me that looks like I got kidnapped.
Like, just have us on our regular days, you know?
Haven't showered in a week, haven't washed my hair in 2 weeks, have some sort of stain on all my clothes. I'm wearing sweatpants and a t-shirt that I haven't washed in a week or two or three or a month. You don't ever know. My hair is all in a messy bun. I have no makeup on. I could care less about washing my face because I'm trying to get in books and stuff. Trying to.
Exactly. That's when I should come to your house, take a picture of you. Actually, a couple pictures. Nice camera.
Yeah.
And I'll save them for if you ever go missing and I need to start a show. Yeah, we also discussed we're both going to have really profitable TV shows if either of us go missing.
Yeah, podcasts, TV shows, anything, books, anything. Yeah.
Ooh, it'll be called Finding My Best Friend. And then I'll go out and I'll be trying to find you, and it'll be so good.
I told her, I go, what? Because I go, you know how a lot of people pour, like, alcohol on graves? Like, they're like, this one's for you or something like that. You know,
see,
like,
I've never heard of that before.
I heard of that. Like, there's in movies and stuff. And I was like, Jasmine, you gotta do that on my grave.
I'll find the most expensive one, Haley.
You gotta find some expensive alcohol and pull out my grave and be like, this is your last drink or something.
I'll go to France since you wouldn't have got to go to France if you died.
Wow! Wow, assuming I'm gonna die really young and now, wow, I feel offended.
Hey, we gotta assume the worst.
Okay, fine.
Also, if I die, I want you to pour a kale juice onto my grave. Haley's not talking to me anymore.
Here lies the vegan Jasmine.
It's a sad day. Oh, and then you have some cow moos, like just moo.
No, I'm gonna have a recording of a cow just by your grave and like some kale, some carrots, a whole bunch of vegetables.
Put like carrots up on my coffin, just like line them up.
Here, I'll let the bunnies come and visit you and your dead soul.
There we go. That sounds like the best funeral. Funerals should be super happy. They should have, like, rock music playing.
Yeah, there are some people that celebrate at funerals because they're celebrating a successful life or what life has. By the way, I talk about death way too much.
True that.
Because probably on my thing, if I die, I know who I want to be at my funeral. Whoever says that they used to be my best friend and they're not, Jasmine can say up front in this document, and I will have a recording of me saying, I was never friends with you. I do not care about you. Please don't make this your day. It's mine.
If certain people like try to say something, I'm like, I'm going to get in front and I'm going to say, no, you were not Haley's friend. Haley hated you and talked about you behind your back all the time.
That's why I'm afraid of dying, because I know there's going to be that one person that's like
that free rider who's like, just there for the funeral potatoes. That's
like, oh my gosh, like she used to be my best friend. We used to know each other. And you're like,
Didn't
she hate you? Didn't she like talk about you behind your back? Yeah.
Let's be real. There's always those people just there for the food.
For real. I'm going to make a list. I swear I'm going to make a list of people I want and don't want.
The VIP list.
Yes. At my funeral. And I know what songs I want to play. I know who I want to have be speaking at my funeral. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
I've thought this all out. This is a horrible thing to say because I'm 19 years old.
Hey, when I was like 10 years old, I remember making a will. And my parents were like, what the heck?
I swear. We're going to get kids as worse as us. And it's going to
be worse than us. Like 10 times worse than us.
They're going to have a GPS on us. They're going to be like, Mom, I'm worried. Where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to get sore. But you say you're going to get kidnapped at any point in time. So here, I'm going to sew a GPS in all your clothes and, like, maybe insert one into you, like, surgically, like, cut you open.
Like Black Mirror.
Yeah, that kind of thing without me knowing in my sleep.
Wow. We should probably get on
to the because it's, like, 10 minutes. Okay, so if you didn't know, I'm finishing my second part.
Yeah, this is Haley's part two of Amityville.
Yes. So you want me to start then?
Yeah, you can start.
Okay, because we both have
I don't have a lot. I'm talking about a cult, so... Yeah.
All right. Well, I am talking about, and I'm pretty long. Okay. So, like, it was months after. Okay. So, let me update you. Last episode, I talked about a murder that happened there. And it was in, hold on. Let me get the exact month. I have my notes backed back. Okay. So, the guy was convicted and went to jail in November of 1975. These people,
oh my god, Litz
family,
1 month later.
Yes, 1 month later, moved into a house with their three kids that just recently six people died, and there was like four kids that was dead there.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. So, they only lasted about 26 days in there. Well, 28 days in there.
Hey, almost a month.
Almost a month. Okay, so off the bat, yes, I know that this is very controversial. A lot of people believe that this house is not haunted, and they only did it because of money reasons. Because
that Daniel guy, right?
Yes.
Daniel Lutz.
Yeah, that was like...
He made the movie.
Yeah, I'll talk about more of that at the end. So, yes. So, I knew it, but this story is so creepy, and I don't care if it's true or not. I just like talking about it.
Yeah, it will just be a good time to hear about, you know?
If it's true, that's very creepy. If it's not true, very good storytelling, people.
Exactly. Like, A+. We all love Goosebumps, so.
So, yeah. So, they moved into the house, and, like, I didn't know this was more normalized than it probably should be, but... I hear a lot of people like, oh, yeah, this is normal for a priest to come and bless a new house like he moved into. I'm like, I moved 12 times.
Maybe it was more of a thing back then.
Yeah.
Wait, this was in the 70s, right? And that's kind of around the demonic.
Yeah, that was when the Conjuring happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a whole, like, everyone was like, oh, the demons are coming.
Yeah, because of the Conjuring. The whole reason that whole started because of Conjuring. Conjuring.
Come on.
That's the whole reason why people started freaking out.
Everyone was crazy about demons.
So, yeah. So, but I felt like they say, like, even to this day, it's a kind of normal thing, which I'm like, what? So, yeah. So, the priest is coming to bless the house, okay? And he allegedly hears a voice scream, get out!
Get out.
Yes. in this house. And guess what room it is?
The bedroom?
The playroom for the kids.
Oh, that's a fun time.
Yeah, and there's like fly, like, this is December, okay? And there's like a whole bunch of flies on the windows.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like,
didn't they say, there's a lot of stuff about flies everywhere.
Yeah, there's like, if you do not know that, a common thing in most paranormal stuff is if there's a lot of flies, the flies are attracted to this like negative energy. So more places haunted, more flies are just going to swarm in random spots at random times. Like,
wait a second. So if a fly lands on me, are you saying I have a negative energy?
No, that's normal. I'm getting like hundreds of flies coming at you all at once.
Okay, so if I had 100 flies on me,
yes,
then I have negative energy.
That's weird. Like not negative being like a negative person energy, like I hate life kind of thing. I mean like demonic, terrifying.
We got some demons.
Gonna kill you energy, okay? So, some things that happened within this time period, it's just all kind of mumbo jumbo of. So, the stepfather, George, he, had a habit of, occasionally, waking up at 3:15 every morning.
Wow, great time.
Of roughly around the same time that, DeFont carried out his murder.
Oh my gosh. So he wanted to wake, or did he just accidentally wake up?
He will accidentally wake up.
At 3:15, exactly when the guy murdered his family.
Yes, the accused, in the morning,
Oh my gosh.
So the family claims that the house made of strange odors, they seen green slime oozing out the walls, like every little spot you can think of. Extremely cold spots in the house, you know, normal ghost stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's this one that I find really weird is, so one of the kids was going to was about to use the bathroom, and they just see the whole toilet is black, inside the toilet.
What did they eat?
No, they like scrubbed it and like flushed, and like I was like, why would a ghost make a toilet like black, like the inside?
Hey.
Yeah.
Ghosts have to go to the bathroom too, Haley.
Maybe it was a ghost. Okay.
I think you're offending all the ghosts here who are in this theater right now.
Maybe I am. Okay. No, I'm getting to.
Did you hear that?
No.
I was just messing.
I was like, nope. Okay. So also George would, they had boathouse, and like he would stay up and he would been like, he's just like, dude, like just staring at the door of the boathouse, like something's coming at him. Okay. So other experiences was the nearby garage door would open and close. Invisible spirit knocked a knife down from the kitchen. Okay, so I get confused with names. I don't like using names. So yeah. So by now, one of the kids was making like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I love how they were specific about that.
Yeah, it's making like, it was Daniel, like the kid that like made the movie and whatever, and that kind of crazy. Yeah, he was like, I remember I was making peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and then this ghost just knocked my knife out like off of like the table, and like it's coming in here just being annoying. So yeah,
those dang ghosts.
So there was this little girl, and she became friend with a pig-like creature with red eyes.
Hmm. And pigs are known to be, like, a demonic symbol or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, yeah. Just a kid, just like, yeah, I'm friends with a demon pig now. Yeah.
Me too.
So, one day George was going out, and stepdad, and he's, like, just looking at the boat, like, the boat dock door, like, watching. And then he turns over to the children and like look up at the children's window and see this pig-like creature from the window. So he woke up his wife and he's like, you gotta get out of bed,
you gotta see this pig.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god, this is another thing. Okay, so George and my wife happened, they were in bed, and then they felt like this thing was like pushing, like someone was like pushing them down, like holding them down. And their son, Daniel, and Christopher Lynn. Christopher, I can say this name. Christopher. Chris.
Christopher.
I cannot speak English, I swear. So their bed, like their parents are hearing like noises coming from the children's room, and they're like, cannot get up. Well, their like children's beds were levitating. Like they were levitating and their beds were just going crazy, like hitting each other,
oh
and
my
like
gosh.
It was all crazy. Okay, think about like you're just like levitating and your bed's going crazy.
Okay,
it
would be fun at first, but then when you realize it is a demon, yeah, then it would be scary.
Yeah, so there was actually two investigators.
Oh, Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah.
You should do something on the Warrens at some point.
I am. I'm going to here. But yeah, they actually came to the house and like investigated. And there wasn't a whole lot they could say about the house.
And she was actually interviewed in the My Amityville Horror movie.
Yes.
I actually, the only reason I didn't watch the movie, I listened to True Crime Obsessed. I love
yes!
that podcast. I'm obsessed with their podcast.
I am actually doing my next couple cases, True Crime, I'm actually doing it because of their like podcast.
Yeah,
I'm
I
very
love how
interested.
They watch shows and they talk about them. So like I feel like I don't even have to watch the show because they talk about all the important things.
I'll talk about something later with you, but yeah. So yeah, one of my other cases and then a case in the future I'm gonna do is because of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So after they like they left, they're like, this is crazy, we gotta go. After 28 days. Okay, by the way, moving out after you just bought this house is financially, like, horrifying.
Yeah.
Like, as I get older, I'm like, that's horrifying. Because, like, you just put down, like, a down payment. Like, you sign all these paperwork.
And plus, just moving is a hassle.
Yeah. How are you going to find a place? And, like, you wasted all this money, like, buying a house. And
that's
then
one of the things they have going for them, like, on the side of believing them.
Yeah.
Is because why would you want to move out?
And it was such a great deal. Like, this is a house, like, on the, like, it's in New York. Like, it's on, like, an edge of a river. You have a boathouse. Like, it's really nice. If you look pictures at it, it's, like, super nice.
Like, something made them want to move. Whether it was paranormal or not is the question, but.
And also another thing. So, why, like, we're talking about investigations. So.
Wait. We're actually hearing stuff right now.
It's probably somebody. It's someone walking.
I know, but who's here right now?
It sounds like flip-flops.
Okay, my parents aren't back by now. They were going to go to dinner at 6 o'clock.
Oh, they went to dinner.
They went to dinner, and they were going to be there at 6 o'clock, and they're, like, with a bunch of couples, so they're going to be talking to people. Wait. They're using a microphone. they're making a hot pocket. The ghost.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I forgot to mention to you that one of the investigators, because there's tons of other people investigating this house, because
mm-hmm.
it's like at the time the story blew up. So there's this famous picture of this little boy on a staircase, and like they made sure like the family was gone, like the kids. Yeah. So there's this like. You can look it up. There's, like, this picture of this little boy standing by, like, a staircase. And, like, you can see it's a little boy. And, like, no one can explain it. Especially because there's, like, no Photoshop or anything, like, at that time. So, yeah. So, this is, like, all the paranormal stuff that happened. So, the aftermath of this all, like. So, after George and Catherine, they agreed to take a lie detector test. To, like, prove that there is, and they're, like, making sure,
they're
like, they're, yeah. Well, they pass, which makes it a little more believable.
Yeah, that goes also on the side with them. We can put out our list of pros and cons.
Yeah, so, why they kind of think it's also a little sketchy is the couple was bogged down by, like, legal and financial issues, which promoted, like, sketchy. They believe that they made up this whole story to sell to the public and kind of make money off that way.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're trying to con the public to try to make money. I mean, it makes sense, too.
Their lawyer was thought that helped them came up with this horror story because at the time, it was very, because The Conjuring came out and everyone's just very
It's very public.
Public.
It's talked about.
So, you know, at the time, everyone wanted ghost stories. Like, you knew that they wanted. So, like, if you make up this, like, a murder just happened in that house. You're making up this ghost story, like.
So, if people were killed there, people are more likely to believe, hey.
Yeah.
It's a chance there's a few ghosts.
Yeah, recently. That. Yeah. People got killed. So, there's a Daniel. Is living, like, a life in Queens, New York as a stonemason. And he claimed that the house, like, ruined his life. And one of the other kids went crazy and was like, this is for real. Like, why am I talking about it? I'm traumatized.
Yeah, I remember in the show he kept saying, I don't want to be talking about it. I'm like, look, you're the one
there's
doing
so
the show.
Many, yeah, yeah, there's so many, yeah. For real, it's just crazy. That whole thing. And he was just saying, like, he believes it, but he ruined his life and So, yeah. Just a crazy kind of dude. He's just very crazy. Like, none of the family, also the family wanted to do anything with any, like, interviews or anything. Like, they were like, this is behind us. We're done. Like, which kind of makes it more believable. There's some other podcasters that I'm like, I kind of agree with that. That kind of makes it more believable because then if
you want to, you would make money off it if they talked about it more.
Yeah. And the thing, too, is after they moved out, everyone else who moved in there had no issues at all. Like, no issues, no hauntings, like, nothing.
That's definitely something, because it's not like the ghosts just leave.
Yeah, no, ghosts don't leave. Unless they really hated those people.
Yeah, who knows?
So, yeah. So, that's the other side of the story.
Wow. Also, wasn't there a hand, too?
Yes, I forgot to mention you. I forgot to mention that. Yes, so Daniel got his hand, so, like, he's sticking his hand out, and there's a window open, and, like, it gets smashed. And, like,
they said his hand was all deformed.
And, like, they were about to take him to the hospital. Oh, yes, this is, I forgot. This is, like, when they're also, like, making, I think it was, if I read and heard this correctly, he was, like, making the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and all of a sudden, the ghost walked through his hand, and it was all healed.
Yeah, so that's kind of, like, your hand's healed, you know?
Yeah, I forgot about it because I was so obsessed with the pig. Totally forgot about that. And, like, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I just remember those two things.
Wow, they must love peanut butter and jelly. I mean, I do too, so.
But I just, the pig, like, it just sounds so weird. Like, out every demonic thing. Like,
I saw,
like,
a pig in the window.
Yeah, a pig in the window.
Well, that was a good story. Yeah. I mean,
it was longer than, not, yeah. So
it's
again,
funny, I still hear whoever is out there, and I'm just, I keep thinking of a ghost making a Hot Pocket. I don't know why.
Can someone please, I love you people, and you need to be more active, and we need to be more active, we all need to be more active.
We're really bad at being active.
But please, please, if someone, please, I beg of thee, I will pay you a dollar.
One whole dollar, guys.
One whole dollar.
We're poor, too.
I will.
We are poor
PayPal you,
students.
Like, whatever I need to do to give you that dollar.
$1. $1. Going
Can
once,
someone
going
please
twice.
Draw a ghost? In a Hot Pocket.
Yes.
Please, I beg of thee.
Haley offered you $1, and you can hold her to that.
I will. Don't get me wrong. I might make it up more, depending if you're, like, really into it, and you're going to do a great job. I will pay you more money for it. Scout's honor.
Yes. Me and Haley are
shaking on
it.
This. For real, I will PayPal you, like, for real, because isn't that, like, can you work? Yeah.
Yeah, PayPal or Venmo.
No, or anything. I will pay you. Money to draw this, please.
Money.
Please. I mean, like, a good one. Like, I don't mean, like, timid little, like, I mean, like, actually, like, I know you take your time. You don't have to be so astonished, but I need to know that you took your time and actually serious about this.
Why don't you get, like, 100, not even that many, but, like, 10 people.
I swear.
Honestly. I want to see it. Okay, so I'm talking about a cult. As always. But this is an interesting one because I was looking up the Brethren cult. And there's, like, a bunch of, actually, Brethren cults. There's one in the UK, which I started researching. And I was like, no, I thought this was in the US. And I was like, oh, there's another one in the US. And they're also referred to as the cult of the garbage eaters. Because guess what? They eat garbage. I mean, who would know? So I'm going to talk about the USA Brethren, or the cult of the garbage eaters today. And they're very interesting. They're not as crazy. Like, most of the cults I've talked about end in either fire or death or a lot of death. But this one actually doesn't end in any of that. But it is still sketchy because people are taken away from their families. But we are going to talk about it because it's just, it's going to be a little more lighthearted cult time.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need that after murder and after talking about drugs last week. So, Cult of the Garbage Eaters. They are a Christian doomsday cult. Doomsday. I mean, that's in most cults. We're already on to something here. And they are actually a really, really small cult. There has been a few hundred members. And today, there is maybe even less than, like, a couple hundred. Like, there could be less than 100 people in this cult. It is really small. But let's start with the guy, Jimmy T. Roberts. He is the cult's founder. And June 5th, 1939, in Paris, Tennessee, is when Jimmy Roberts was born. And his father was a Pentecostal preacher. And he actually joined the Marines later in life. And in 1970, they thought the apocalypse was going to be really soon. So he started being obsessed with the apocalypse, and he was already very religious, and he thought all modern day churches were corrupt. He was like, modern day churches, they're corrupt, so guess what? I'm going to start my own church, as they all do. So he got his followers from the Jesus movement, which, oh, this is why I talked about it in the 1970s, because this is the 1970s. There was a Jesus movement, and there was also a satanic panic. That's probably why everyone was worried about demons, was because of the satanic panic. Everyone thought everyone was a Satanist. They thought the occult was everywhere. They thought demons were everywhere, and there was this whole panic over it. So yeah, at the same time of that, there was also the Jesus movement. So I guess they counter each other. I don't know. They go hand in hand. So yeah, this is the 70s. So there's a lot of movements going on. And that's actually one of the reasons that there are so many cults around this time, is because of the New Age movement, and also the Jesus movement, the Satanic Panic.
Can I just interrupt? The 70s was a time.
Honestly, if we were in the 70s, it would be a little wild.
Because you got like basically like hippies. You got a lot of serial killers. Like, that's roughly around the time a lot of serial killers, mainly the popular ones like Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the clown one.
A lot of the like really public
the ones. Yeah. All those, okay, you gotta think about all that.
The most horrible ones.
90% of the cults
were in the 70s or 80s, where they like trickled into the 80s.
So yeah.
It's so crazy.
It's the 70s for real. It was a time. It was a time for a
Vietnam?
Lot of
them.
Vietnam on top
like,
of all
it
that.
It was a wild time.
Like, you don't think about it, but like, I've connected the dots for real so many times of, oh, this happened in the 70s, this happened in the 70s, this happened in the 70s, for real.
I know, so much was going on. Like, shout out to any of our listeners who were alive during the 70s, because you made it out, man. You're here. So yeah, 1970s, wild time. So this cult was known for being more nomadic. They would travel around like the disciples did, because the 12 disciples, they were trying to spread the word. They were with Jesus. They were traveling all over the Middle East and just going to different towns. So they were kind of trying to mirror that, but in modern day, in the 70s. And they wanted to live a life devoid of pleasure. No pleasure. No, like, worldly pleasure. No connections to the world. Like, you want to be shut off. You don't want to have any pleasure. A pleasureless life, you know? Which, honestly, this doesn't line up with the Bible, because the Bible talks about joy. And they're like, no, we've got to be no pleasure. You can't enjoy food. You can't enjoy anything. I'm like, okay. I mean, whatever you want to do. But they actually, along with a life devoid of pleasure, this kind of goes in line with the dumpsters. So they would eat food out of dumpsters, because also they didn't have a lot of money. because they were nomadic. They were going to job to job. They would have jobs working in garbage or working just really small part-time things that they could leave and go back to. And it was just, honestly, I don't know how they even made it by. But they actually did start out as a commune. So at first they were a commune and they kind of had a transition to nomadic life. So when they were a commune, they would have groups go out, like two or three people would go out and they would go on these missions, kind of like Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. They'll have like two or three of them go out on their bikes, spreading the word, kind of like that. But they also have a commune that they would go back to. So it was kind of like that until deprogramming started. Did you hear about deprogramming?
No.
Okay, so in the 1970s, there was starting to deprogram people because cults were more around. So they deprogramming is when someone who has extreme beliefs, it's basically like therapy, trying to get them to get rid of those beliefs and try to be more normal and be like, not feel bad about it.
Yeah.
So deprogramming started, and that's when they were like, oh no, we feel like we're going to be under attack. And they were actually recognized as a cult around this deprogramming time. So that's why they ended up going more nomadic, and the commune was no more. No more commune, complete nomads, and they went out. So let's also talk about kind of what it's like for these people. So the women do not cut their hair. They keep it really long. No style whatsoever. All their dresses are handmade, and they're very modest. I mean, they've got to be modest. A lot of their clothes are secondhand. Men have to have long beards, and the men actually wear like kind of these tunics. They go down to their knees, like these knee-length shirts that are sewn by their sisters. Sisters are the girls. The brothers are the boys in the cult. And they can't have any material possessions, nothing, except for, like, the necessities, like clothes and food now and then. So money made, they all made their money, and it was distributed by need. So people higher up in the cult would probably get money, more money than the younger people. So they would do it for fabric for clothes or expenses like food, but they didn't make a lot of money, obviously, because it was all from small jobs, like cleaning jobs. And so they would just distribute the money by need, who needs it the most, that kind of thing. And this is kind of a funny thing. Bathing was a personal decision.
I can believe that.
So if you want to take a bath, I mean, take your bath. But if you don't want to take a bath, I mean, no one's judging here. So that I just thought that was an interesting point about the cult.
You know how much they stink if they're in garbage, working in garbage, and not bathing?
They're eating garbage, working in garbage, not bathing. That's not a very good combination. And also, their hair is really long.
Yeah.
And if they're not showering, it's going to get really ratty.
Yeah, and they're probably wearing, like,
horse mane.
Okay, also, if they're, like, long hair, long clothes, cover up all year round,
you're going to get sweaty.
Yeah.
And you're being a nomad, you're going around on bikes in the heat and the humidity.
Oh,
no. This just gets worse and worse the more I think about it.
This is why no one wanted to join them.
This is why they have less than 100 members, because no one wants to eat garbage. Okay, if you started getting some caviar out there, people might join. People might join. Get some sushi. Come on. Come on, people. You gotta entice the people into your cult. There has to be a reason they want to join. So yeah, bathing is a personal decision, and a lot of them would actually refuse medical treatment. Women would sew all the clothes, and actually, this is kind of funny. If you join the cult as a single, you cannot get married. So like, say I'm single and I join the cult, I will never be married. Because they say your time, your hour has passed. Which, that just sounds creepy, like, you join and it's like, your hour has passed. Even if you're like 22 years old, it's like, oh, nope, you can't get married. Your hour has passed.
The thing that I'm thinking about now is, this is a little gross. So if you're squeamish or a guy, please do not mind me.
Don't mind any of us.
The time of the month.
Oh, no. Oh, wait, what would they do about
that? That's
why
this is what girls think.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess I don't even know. Honestly, that's a question that needs to be answered because there's barely anything on the internet about these guys. Like, it's really hard to find any information on them because they're such a small cult and they're nomadic. So it's really hard to get any information on these guys.
Okay. We got, first of all, we got to do an episode on how to start a cult.
Yes.
Secondly, that just crosses my mind for all cults. Like, what would they do for that? Because you can't stop it.
Exactly. I don't know. So, yeah. If you join the cult single, you are not going to get married. No children can play, ever. If you're a child, you can't play. No. Never. Which makes no sense, because that's all children want to do is play. And let children be children, you know? Let them be children. But no, children can never play, ever. There's no dancing, no laughing. Celebrating is only for Jesus' second coming. Which, that is just dumb. Like, first of all, have these people ever been to a church? Like, worship, that's celebrating. That's celebrating. And these people are just like, no, you cannot celebrate until Jesus has come back for the second time. Like, okay. These people sound like they have horribly sad, lonely lives. You can't get married. You can't celebrate. You can't dance. You can't laugh. You can't have any pleasure. You have to eat garbage. This just sounds horrible.
This sounds like if you wanted to die, but you don't.
Yeah, if you just want to live the most painful life.
There's a word for people who like being tortured.
I don't know.
I know the word. It is it's going to come to me one day. It's
okay,
gonna come to
Haley
me.
Will think about it.
I'll just randomly be recording this. I'm going to go, that's the word I was thinking of.
Oh, but this is interesting. They can color, but they cannot draw or create anything. So if something's already created and they want to color it in, they can do that, but they cannot create. But they can sing. They sing every night. So that's kind of interesting. They can sing, but they can't dance or laugh. And they will, as I said again, they travel and preach in groups of two or three people. So it's never just one person. It's usually two or three, but pretty small groups. And they will pray with Jimmy and then they're reassigned partners before their next mission. And the older members will get the money from younger members. So as I said earlier, the money is just kind of put in a pot and distributed as needed. So older members will get the money first. And this is kind of funny. Even if a member joined the cult just a week before someone else. So say I join the cult, you join like two or three days later. Mm-hmm. I'm your elder. I am superior to you, even though I was only in the cult like an extra 2 days. So then I would probably get more money than you would just because those 2 days.
I will fight you.
Hey, fight me. I joined the cult first, so you're lost. Okay, wait. Oh, yeah, there was a 17-year-old who was in the cult since the beginning. So, like, they would be an elder even if a 50-year-old joined. Like, no matter, like, how old you are, you can be an elder to someone who is probably much wiser than you, even if you just joined the cult, like, a day before. Which, that just made no sense to me. But, you know, I guess Jimmy had his own plans. There's actually not a lot on Jimmy, but... The group went into hiding in 1980, so most of this information we have is from when they had their commune, before they went into hiding. So all family ties were cut with outsiders, and they do not want their families to take them back. The members will always move around. Again, they're nomadic, they're spreading the word, and they bike everywhere. Like, if you see people on bikes, it could be them, but it also could be 50 other religions as well. But actually... There was a documentary called God Willing, and this was a mother trying to find her nephew. Yeah, her nephew Daniel had joined the cult in 1996, so it is still around. Like, that's not, it's long ago, but it's not that long ago. He was in college, he was super popular, but then he kind of got in touch with, like, these really extreme people, and he disappeared. and the FBI found him, and he was called a young brother, which is used for the Roberts group. This is also called the Roberts group, Jim Roberts or Jimmy Roberts. So the FBI found him, but the family couldn't take him because he said, I have a new family, and he would not go back to his family. And if the FBI find, you know, an adult and they don't want to go back to their family, they can't force them. Like, it's a missing persons case, but once they find them, they're like, oh, well, they're safe. They're okay. They don't want to be found. So they use parts of the Bible to back up leaving their families, which they're like super out of context verses, and I don't have them on me, but that was something I found. Daniel did eventually leave the group. And the reason this documentary is called God Willing is because one mother, her daughter joined the cult, and she got a letter from her daughter that said, at the end of the letter, the daughter was just like writing about how she felt so spiritually alive, and she was like on the road. And she said, God willing, this will be the last time you hear from me. Doesn't that sound like, that sounds kind of morbid.
It does.
Like, God willing, this will be the last time you'll hear from me. Like, she's hoping it will be the last time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a lot, there's so many families that, not a lot of families, but there are enough families that they have actually formed a group called the Roberts Group Parents Network, and they locate missing children and their family, and they try to find them. But it's impossible to find these people because there's so few of them, and they move around so often. So, yeah, that is the cult of the garbage eaters. Oh, wait, Jim Roberts actually died December 6, 2015 in Denver, Colorado. So he's dead now, so the cult is probably even more diminished. So who knows what's going on now? Yeah, that's it.
Wow. The wow.
Oh, ghostly footprints.
Ghostly footprints. Ghostly footsteps.
I meant steps, but there could be prints out there too. We don't know.
Whatever.
Mara Murray, maybe she had some ghostly footprints. That's why we couldn't see them in the snow. Gotcha.
Let's just end this before I fight Jasmine.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Go follow our Instagram.
Yeah, Colts Conspiracies Creepies. Bye.